Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my spectacular co-host, we've got the one and only R Sigma.
Hi!
And we've got the lovely and sassy, as always, Sublime Manic. That's the correct description, right?
Like, it feels correct. Right. Yeah, that's true.
Welcome, of course, to the Puckle Podcast. True. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. Man, yeah. We were actually just talking before the show started about Paradox Rift, because, I mean, it is a new set. It came out. My only problem, so, like, I still play the TCG, right? I'm just not going to regionals right now, like I've said before.
I think that's fair. I think regionals are in a bad place with how big they are and how long they take. But
I kind of agree with you. And I've come to terms with myself that I just don't have the time to commit to doing, like, a proper run, right?
Yeah. Well,
it's a commitment.
Like, I watch LAIC,
really,
and they had to skip the last two rounds because they had already hit 12 hours on their recording. And it's like,
yeah, it's really, geez, I heard LAIC was pretty bad.
I'm starting to feel like Japan has it right with the best of one.
a little bit, though, right?
The bigger these tournaments get, the longer the rounds get, despite having a 50-minute time limit.
Yeah.
And it's just getting unreasonable, right?
No, it's I have issues with that. Like, I think it's okay to still compete in tournaments and stuff. Like, to go play in a league challenge or a cup, even if you're
local
not doing
cup.
A world's run.
Local is fine.
Yeah, I think it's completely fine to, like, go do those and, like, try to win those without trying to do a world's run. Because if somebody is trying to do a world's run and you beat them, well, apparently they weren't good enough to just beat the local Joe Schmo, right?
They should probably lower their expectations.
I just like doing that because, I mean, I like flinging the cardboard around and... I don't know. It's a good time. I like playing the TCG, but Paradox Rift was actually pretty big. It changed a lot of things.
I love when they have the sets that add.
I don't think,
like,
we've had that.
Archetypes.
Well, yeah, I guess we did with the future and the pat and the ancient.
Rapid single strike.
Yeah, and fusion strike.
Rapid
yeah, so
strike.
We got the future and the future and the ancient.
Strike.
I just feel like that's not going to be as impactful as we want it to be.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll see.
I mean,
they've done some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I really like how they use those to make some powerful cards that aren't too powerful, since it limits what kind of cards you can go get.
Professor Sada is pretty good, or the item.
Professor Sada, yeah.
The item that gets you two future Pokemon.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, I forget what that's called. I can see the card in my head and everything.
It's some kind of, like, bracelet band.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. I don't play a future deck.
Yeah, if you play a future deck, you could just use that, and it's essentially a battle VIP pass.
I hate Battle VIP Pass so much. I look forward to it rotating because it feels so RNG. Feels so RNG.
Man, I think if I were to say something about the meta now, I'd say that, I mean, Battle VIP Pass is, like, the best and worst card, right?
I hate it so much because every time my opponent goes first, they're like, Battle VIP Pass. It's like, how did you get that? I have to Arvin for it.
I know.
Every time.
No, I am looking forward to rotation because I think it does a lot. One, Mew rotates, so nobody has to do those one of Drapion inclusions anymore. Thank God. And yeah, I don't know. I'm very excited to go and just play that. I really need to get back on stream. I really do. Now that things have toned down, I no longer have travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my list. I was going to do stuff this week, man. It's like, I hate being a government scientist in at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Ooh.
Yeah, because all the proposals are due at the beginning of the fiscal year. It's awful. October.
When does the fiscal year start for you?
So
that makes more sense. That explains a lot of news too. But yeah.
By the 30th, like everything clears up for me. Like there might be like another proposal. The problem is like it's a whole thing, guys. I don't want to talk too much about it, but yeah, it's a whole thing where people don't know what they're doing and they're asking for proposals and changing the rules midway along your proposal preparation. And it's very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. But yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time. Yeah. So I'm hoping to be back like post Thanksgiving. Like that's just back, baby. Okay. Now we're going to do some streams. I don't know if it's going to be TCG or what. I really want to still go and try to like 100% Gen 1 and Gen 2.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a good time with that. I was originally going to just do Gen 1 all the way by itself and then go on to Gen 2 for like Pokemon Stadium and stuff. But I was doing some research on it, and this is part of me just breaking down and not wanting to be a purist anymore. Like the number one strategies for beating like a lot of the Cubs in Pokemon Stadium are actually to use Pokemon you catch in Gold and Silver.
Huh.
Because like for Little Cup specific, not well, Little Cup in quotes.
Oh, Little Cup, yeah, because you need to get eggs.
Well, that's what you need eggs. But the Little Cup in...
I mean, yeah. In both Pokemon Stadium,
Little Cup and the other like Little Cup. There are two Little Cups. There are two Little Cups.
Yeah. That little cup like allows up to level 15 Pokemon or something like that.
The Pika cup that lets you have like evolutions as long as they're like under level 15. So you can have a Starmie.
Yeah, yeah. So like you can catch like a level 15 Haunter and stuff in Gen 2. So you can just like go get a Gengar, level 15 Gengar, and use it in that cup. So that's the kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I kind of give up like trying to be a purist about this. I'm just going to do it this way.
That makes sense.
I'm just going to do it this way.
That makes sense. Yeah. Like, I looked through the Pika Cup roster, and it's like, I can use Starmie, but they don't let me use Ponyta in Little Cup. This is something here.
Yeah. It's fine. I don't know. You guys been up to anything interesting, fun, cool?
I mean, I've been enjoying the TCG again, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Paradox Rift was good. Paradox Rift was very healthy.
There are people who would disagree with you, but I agree with you, if that makes sense.
Those people don't like Iron Hands, and that's their choice to play Comfey.
Actually, based on the LAIC meta right now in Day 2, I feel like Iron Hands isn't really a problem.
That's what I felt, too. It's like, yeah, Qian Pao's there, but, you know, Giratina's still the second highest deck in Day 2.
Gardevoir's number one, and Giratina's number two in Day 2, so I don't know what...
I want to say that Iron Hands might be in some of those Giratina decks, but that's beside the point.
Potentially, yeah, but I don't know that that's going to be...
There is the potential. I know they're in Lost Zone boxes occasionally.
I feel like Iron Hands is, like, nice to have, but never essential for how to play the deck.
No, it's nice against those little small prize decks, like the ones that run their Comfey, and, yeah. Or routes, where you just eat them and take two prizes, and then you're keeping up with them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like,
I absolutely
I'm okay with that. That is perfectly fine.
But yeah.
People are like, oh, it kills... No, it doesn't. Like, no one's playing that heavy Iron Hands.
Yeah. How's your experience been, Sublime? Like, what deck have you been playing?
I've been playing with a lot of
Past. Which ones?
Paradox.
Like, are you playing Roaring Moon, or are you just playing, like... Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, you're a Darkness player. I am shocked.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I love every time there's a Tina deck.
Yeah.
That's why I call Giratina. It's one of those Pokemon that, like, every
there's
generation...
Always a good Giratina. There is always a good Giratina.
There's... it's one of those Pokemon. Yeah. It's like Vileplume,
but
not toxic.
But yeah.
I do love a toxic
Vileplume.
They've
cut down on their
Vileplumes
a little bit.
They have significant...
I think they realized.
I wouldn't be completely against if they brought back I Don't Lock Vileplume, but that's whatever.
I don't know, like, item lock in general.
It doesn't block tools anymore, at least, but...
Yes, that's true. No, I do like the Tool Errata. The Tool Errata is one of my favorite things that's come out of this format, or just
it
since
makes
Scarlet
sense.
And Violet. Yeah.
It makes sense, like...
It really does. No, it really does. I appreciate it. It makes, but that was kind of part of the problem with, like, Palkia, right? when Palkia was the big deck a couple years ago. Because you could just Irida for Choice Belt and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was...
I mean, now we have
insane.
Arvin, which can get you a lot.
Yeah, Arvin's
the
fine.
Flexibility of Arvin astounds me.
Arvin's great. I think it's a good card.
It feels like it keeps getting better, and I'm like, cool. Because it's a fair card.
Arvin is a perfectly reasonable card, I think.
Like, it feels balanced. I'm not going to complain about it.
It's a perfectly
reasonable card. It's okay for that card to see play.
Absolutely. They have learned how to balance cards a lot more in recent years, it feels like.
I don't know how I like Countercatcher being back. That is a card I'm not sure about yet.
No, I'm kind of okay with. They're like trying to do the comeback meta again, which is fine. I like don't have a problem with the comeback meta cards because it makes games, I think, more exciting.
Yeah.
Right? Like before, if you were down like two or three prizes, you're like, well, why am I even trying? Like my opponent needs to stall out like really hard for me to win at this point.
I mean, Iono is nice until they barrel. They always have a barrel now. It's kind
of crazy. But that's only because of Iona.
Yeah.
This is true.
Right? Like, they wouldn't be playing the barrel so consistently if it weren't for it.
Yeah, they're spending four this cards of their deck to do that, so... Yeah, thank you, I guess. Then you can play your Iron Hands, you can take out your barrel. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. No, I enjoy this meta right now. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it hasn't become bad yet.
No.
And then we're getting Ace Specs next year, so that'll be great.
I'm waiting for, like, the moment where they're just like, Tag Team EX!
That's in 2 years.
Yeah, that's always the, like, third year.
Yeah, that's where they go and they ruin it. Like, I hate Big Basics.
We gotta go through DLC first.
I do hate Big Basics.
Which is Big Basics, so, you know.
Yeah, that's not entirely
false.
I always
like the Big Basics because you don't have to devote so much space to, you know, evolution lines.
I really wish Ting Lu was better.
Yeah.
I feel like it should have hit EXs, but whatever.
It's fine. It's fine.
Poor Ting Lu.
But all right. I think I'm going to stop us here. So we got other things to talk about today. Like the news. There's some news to talk about today, actually.
Some.
Yeah. Some. So we're going to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, Pokemon Concierge got a trailer. It comes out December 28th, and we're going to get four episodes, and they're going to range between 14 to 20 minutes.
This makes sense to me.
You know what makes it worse is we got a date for Pokemon Concierge before we got a date for Pokemon Horizons in the U.S.
That I am shocked. I don't know what happened with that show.
What is going on with Pokemon Horizons?
Like, they were so happy to show it off over the summer, and then they just went quiet.
You know the thing that it makes me more upset about it, too, is, like, they actually released, like, the first half of episode one as well on YouTube.
Yeah, they showed it off at one of their,
Which means it's done. Just let me watch it.
Japan's already on to season two.
Like, I know, let me watch
it. Yeah, they got the episodes.
Let me watch it.
Let me know where we're watching it. We don't even know. I assume it's Netflix still, but, you know, they haven't actually said it.
I don't know. If it's not Netflix, I might cancel my Netflix subscription, finally, because Netflix has nothing that I need or want anymore.
I'm not sure they've actually confirmed it's Netflix.
I don't know, because I assume, like, within, like, the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to get it.
I have to imagine we get it in December, like, the UK. They just got it confirmed last week.
Yeah,
but, you know.
I assume we're going to get something on a similar date. I am just very amazed by this. Also, I'm Pokemon Concierge. While that release date makes sense, the show makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is it happening?
That's why I'm not surprised it's only four episodes and they're shorter episodes. It's like, oh
yeah,
I didn't think there was that much there, and there isn't that much there. So I'm glad it's not being stretched.
I feel like I've noticed over the years, like, there's two modes the Pokemon company goes into. Like, there's the, oh man, we really need to, like, sit down and refocus ourselves. And then there's the, let's just try anything that we think might be fun mode. And that's what we're in right now.
This is more fun. This is more fun sounding than a lot of the things they put out this year.
No, that is true. I do agree with that.
Yeah, like when they do weird
things. I do suspect if we were to rank it, it would be above Detective Pikachu and Pokemon Sleep. So, you know.
Pokemon Sleep, I have so many opinions on, but it's just not worth it. Same with Pokemon Cafe Remix. Let's talk about that, you know. But yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. It's Pokemon Scarlet and Violet news.
Yeah. So there was a 7-star EV event. If you're listening to this the day of release, you could still get online for it because it lasted through Monday night.
Cool.
7 Eastern, you can get on. It's easy to solo. They didn't do anything special for it. It's literally an Eevee with its hidden ability. So it didn't even get adaptability to make it scary. It didn't get an Eevee light like Pikachu had its light ball. It's just kind of bad. But for collectors, it kind of is awful because, you know, a collector probably wants every evolution to have that mark. And you can only catch one per account.
That's one of the more exciting things too that they've done recently. I feel like, oh no, they've been doing really well with Scarlet Violet. I guess this is part of what we're going to talk about, but like they've been really knocking it out of the park with this kind of stuff.
90% of the time. 90% was one event that was miserable.
Yes.
Miserable event, but I'm sure we'll talk about it in the topic.
Yes. So yes. Yes, that's fine. Well, there's some Pokemon Unite news, I guess. I guess it's a game still.
It is. It just keeps on trucking and making money. And it's always awful, right? The next couple Pokemon coming to the game have been leaked through the beta, so you're getting a Gen 1 Pokemon that Lance used.
Is it Aerodactyl, or is it Gyarados?
It would be the second.
Gyarados?
Oh, it is
you get your Magikarp.
Enjoy. Oh, okay. I was curious if they'd add Magikarp or if it would just start.
You just flop around?
Yeah, I think they changed the mechanic so there's like a rage mechanic on it or something, so it evolves with rage instead of level or something.
Interesting.
I don't know. Okay. I haven't looked too deep into it.
Pokemon Unite is a fun time. I actually do enjoy playing it in a somewhat casual way.
It could be.
I had fun with it while I had the Battle Pass, and then I ran out of Battle Pass, and I didn't bother playing it after that, so.
Yeah.
Every time I come back to it, I regret it. That's what I'll say.
I feel like if enough of us got together on a consistent basis and played, it'd be a lot more fun.
Yeah, I feel like if you had a regular group to play with, it would be really fun. Like, you all understand your roles, so you understand the meta. And
maybe we should set a night for it.
We really need to. Like, I've been thinking about this and how, like, as staff, we just need to have, like, staff nights where we hang out.
I think that's a great idea for Fellowship and Unite. Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to play Pokemon Unite.
Ogre fighting.
Yeah, we could literally do anything. We could do anything. But yeah.
Also, I don't know how y'all feel about this. I'm pretty negative about it. They're adding an EX label to both Zacian and Mewtwo.
It's okay.
Because rather than balance their game, they're just going to say, no, you can both have one overpowered thing.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, there are two Mewtwos that both broke the game, I think. So broke the game for a long time.
I would feel better about it if there were more of them. I'd feel better about it if there were more of them, if that makes sense, right? So you can
I think Maridon and Koridon are coming soon. So
they will probably have that label. They will probably have that.
I expect those to be broken, and they will have their label. They seem to be coming at like the anniversary and Pokemon Day. Those are when they add the broken things.
And I guess Pokemon Go has stuff happening. Maybe.
Maybe not really.
I mean, always, but also never.
We're at the end of the season, you know.
Yeah.
So
it happens. This
week they have Party Play Week or something. I don't know. It's a dumb event.
Yeah.
There's not adding any new Pokemon.
You can party and play.
If you really want a party hat Wurmple, they're back. Oh boy, I like their emote that we have in Discord though. They're cute.
It's fine.
bigger news is if you need like Kangaskhan for say you got the Mew research, but you played after they gave you access to Kangaskhan. Mega Kangaskhan raids are happening. They get you a Kangaskhan for your decks.
Yay!
And there was that Master Ball research that happened all month or the past 3 months. If you failed to do that, but you really want that Master Ball, you can pay them because ask you for money?
That's usually how that
I've never
works.
Seen Pokemon Go ask you for money before.
Right. It's like the second they added Master Balls, it's like, oh, they're going to sell this to us at some point. And,
yeah.
Hey, that didn't take
absolutely.
Long.
Yeah. Right.
You can only get it if you didn't get through the tasks.
But. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Some TCG news that we kind of talked about. Well, no, we didn't talk about this one, actually.
We kind of did.
Not this one. Not this news. I'll let Sublime talk about this news.
Oh, yeah. They officially announced Paldean Fates. So if you want a shiny Charizard, they have one in the tins.
They put it in a tin. So God.
Yeah, that's
thank
nice.
God.
Yeah, and
I was so worried.
There's going to be an art rare person, so it doesn't matter.
Also, they added Great Tusk and Iron Treads.
Yeah. That's fine.
And also the Paldean starters have boxes. So, you
know. I mean, it's going to be a cool little set like Shining Fates to open. So, my only problem
collectors
with, like,
will enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, I like it as a player too. To like, it's cool bling cards, right?
I don't love how they do shinies with this. I think the art rare ones look cool. I think the ones with like an empty background are some of the ugliest cards. They're some of the ugliest cards out there. And they've done it for like three sets now. And it's like,
I'm actually really impressed though with how much they've kept up with just like giving us illustration rares and cool stuff like that though.
Yeah, the illustration rares are great. They kind of make the shiny Pokemon redundant, but you know.
No. Illustration rares are, I think, really cool. A really cool idea. And they're not like scared just to do like one-offs in a line too, which is, I think is fantastic. Like in Paradox Rift that recently came out, they just did like the Vanillish. They didn't do the Vanillite or the Vanillix in an illustration rare. They just did Vanillish.
Yeah. God, I love those, the illustration cards.
They're great.
It reminds me of when we were having those duo Pokemon that were worth three prizes.
The tag team,
those had beautiful art.
Yeah.
Oh, with the super rares, and they keep the game cheap too, which is great.
They do,
because people are like, "Oh, I need the highest rarity." It's like, "Oh, yes, you do.
Yes, you do." Let me go buy my card for 50 cents.
Let me go get my $5 good card.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're keeping the Maridons at $3.
I wish they would have done that with Shaymin EX back in the day.
Well, never again. I think the Pokemon company really said never again.
No, they did. They did.
They technically had an art rare for Shaymin at some point, but I think it was in a separate set.
It took so long. It was just killed. The Shaymin price was terrible. I hated that.
But yeah, the art rares just make cards so cheap, and I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, for gameplay purposes, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so cheap to build a Pokemon deck.
It's like, what, $50 for most of them?
Maybe.
And once VMAXs and V-Stars go away, it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Because EXs are not as expensive, and
EXs are so
usually
cheap.
Don't need as many of them. So,
yeah.
Like, EXs are the open.
I think the most I've paid for, like, a big card, and that's for, like, maybe, like, top tier decks, is maybe $20. In the recent past.
I was going to say, Arceus V-Star is a big one that was still up there.
Yeah, Arceus V-Star was going to be up there until it rotates.
I think maybe Inteleon VMAX is up there too.
Yeah, I believe that. It's an older card.
Mew at least has been reprinted into the ground, but...
Being an adult and just having money to buy whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you can get the cheap card or the expensive card. Yes. Yeah.
Like, the choice is there for you. But the fact that there's the cheap price, so people don't have to feel like, oh, yeah, I want to invest into this.
Oh, yeah.
You can get into the game for more affordable
price. Like when you're watching the tournaments.
Or you can, you know, bling it out.
Yeah. My recommendation to most people is just the only time I like went out and blinged out a deck I wasn't sure I was ever going to play was with the Charizard deck recently, because I wanted to build Charizard in person. Mm-hmm. But it was like right after Obsidian Flames came out, and Charizard was insanely weird in its pricing.
Wasn't Charizard and its full art like both 30-ish bucks?
They were the same price.
Well, that's probably also because they put out a box with the full art in it, but yeah.
No. When it first came out, I bought it like, because I typically buy the week after the set comes out, and I didn't do that for Paradox Rift yet. I need to go and do my buy list for Paradox Rift, but they went ahead and they just went and they were $30 a piece or something like that for some reason, because people are just like trying to collect Charizard.
Yeah, and the regular Charizard is expensive and it's dumb.
And it was the same price as buying the full art, so I just bought the full art. Honestly,
might as well. Yeah.
In my opinion, I think the full art looks just as good as the secret rare in that set.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think there's a difference.
They haven't figured out how to do secret rare Terras, and that's...
I agree with
whatever.
You. Whatever. Almost entirely.
Because they haven't done it for too many Pokemon, so they don't really have rules for it.
Yes.
Because you have to have the stupid crown on, and it doesn't look great in cards.
No, I understand why the crown exists. Like, the crown is a very good design choice for the video game. Absolutely.
In the card game, it...
In the card game, it doesn't matter as much. All right. Well, was there more news that we need to talk about? No, we talked about Paradox Rift or the thing. Okay. So Puckle's Pokey prediction. What releases first, the Indigo Disc DLC or the Horizons anime in North America?
I feel like that's a pretty safe bet.
I think it's the anime.
I think they could be the same week, but
There's a possibility for that, but my expectation would be Horizon's anime releases on, I'm going to give you the date, December 8th.
The 8th?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm feeling the 15th, which would put Indigo Disc first.
I'm going to put Disc first.
It is.
I don't think it can release at the end of the month. It has to be the 8th or the 15th.
It would be pretty hype.
It's not this year.
Regardless, both of those days are like pretty hype to do it.
Even like December 1st is like a small possibility, but
it's a small, it's like I would wait it like, I would wait it like 1% December 1st. And then, I would wait it like 49.5% for either the 8th or the 15th, mostly because I don't know what they're doing.
And I don't, I'm confused by it.
I expect the announcement on December 1st. If there's some if there's some like contract gag order that's preventing them from talking about it, they'll just do it. That's the first chance that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And I would expect it to be up on November 30th.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Yeah. Because we shouldn't get any news next week. The week after, I could see like getting a trailer for Indigo Desk, maybe, but
I don't even know. I honestly, at this point, I'm not even convinced we're going to get a trailer for Indigo
Desk. I'm not sure we will either. I just don't think there will be one Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, I'm not convinced we're going to get one. I think they did a very good job when they were leading up to Teal Mask of like showing off both DLCs a lot.
Like I just want to know some of the things in it that aren't like spoilery.
I think we've got.
Like,
all
I don't
of
need
those.
To see Entei.
I just
don't
want
need
my
to see
Snivy
Entei.
Already. I just want my Snivy.
No, they should. If
yeah, you know it's coming at least.
Yeah, that's all I need. Everything else can be a surprise.
If the legendaries are available in it, they should give us a trailer being like, "You can catch legendaries," and that's it.
And this is how.
I think the problem is that this is how part might be spoilery. Because I'm thinking, and because this is a perfectly Game Freak thing to do, because we're like, oh man, maybe we'll be able to fly on Coridon or Maridon. I think we will, but I think it's going to be combined with in the Indigo Disc or in Paldea.
You got to go into the Hoopa Rings up in the sky.
Going into the Hoopa Ring type deal, yeah. And I'm going to say, like, you can only fly when you're trying to find a legendary, if it makes sense. You know what I mean?
So it's kind of like that mini game from Ultra Sun and Moon where you're going and dodging.
Yeah, that's my feel right now.
I'm curious on how many legends they bring back too. Are we going to get the ones that aren't in the game yet? Like,
absolutely. I think we absolutely will get everything that's on the game. Like, I think Suicune, Entei, Raikou are coming absolutely. I think that we're just going to get everything that's not in the game right now.
Like, I assume Ultra Beast won't come.
Ultra Beast probably won't, but they might. I don't know. Based on, like, the leaks from Ku, they're not coming, but which Ku is reliable.
Well, they even changed Ultra Beast's classification to Ultra Beast now.
Yeah,
so
they're not. Yeah,
they
Ultra
aren't
Beast
sub-legends, so they wouldn't come with the rest of the sub-legends anymore.
Which is slightly disappointing, in my opinion.
I mean, well, I did like when they first introduced them that they were something different.
I like that they're different. I just dislike not being able to have them, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I hear that, but, like, I do like this classification.
I'm still terrified that they're going to bring back Coco. Like,
oh, Coco's coming back.
That DLC shows up, I'm in fear of Coco showing up and
Coco's coming back.
Awful.
Coco's coming back, I'm telling you this right now. If legendaries are coming back, Coco's coming back.
Nah, I had a fun thing on the on our doubles Discord room. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what would be cool is if, you know how they fixed Shiftry? What if we just gave Magmar and Electabuzz the Paradox abilities to give terrain and give sun and let them be?
That'd be nice.
I would love that for them. Good for them.
Especially Electabuzz. Like, Pinkerton's so bad. Like, such a bad Pokemon. Give poor Electabuzz electric terrain. That's all he needs.
We'll see. On that note, I'm going to wrap up the news. And I think we're going to go kick it on over then to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an eighth point.
Welcome to Puckle's Pokey Quiz. Thank you for that introduction. We're going to get right into it. Our first question is going to come to you from one of those two. And
one of them. It's Schrodinger's on her.
I spoke into this person in Discord more than once, and I think I've always messed it up. But this question is, what Pokemon has been a starter in the most main series games? We're including, like, all versions and, yeah, remakes and all that other stuff.
Okay, as a main series game. Either Pikachu or Eevee. No, wait, just Pikachu.
No, it's not Eevee. It's
right. Pikachu. No, I'm thinking of the rival in Yellow, but that's the rival. So
Pikachu's up there.
Yeah, Pikachu is up there. Oh, well, then there's also anything that was in Legends Arceus is up to two.
I would not put Rowlet very high because it's Rowlet. But Oshawott might be up there because it had Black 2 and White 2.
That's true. And so that's up to three. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so wait. But that means if we're counting everything, then like... Cyndaquil would get regular gold and also Heart Gold Soul Silver.
Oh, that's true. So that would be up to six. Cyndaquil is at six. Pikachu is only at like what, two? Unless we're counting like side games, which I don't think we are.
Main series games.
So Cyndaquil's high up there.
I mean, that's just six. The virtue of being an older Pokemon, right?
Because I don't think we count the X and Y secondary Kanto starters, I assume. So
I probably would.
Aren't starters. Okay. Those aren't starters.
They're starters.
They're gift Pokemon.
A professor hands them to you.
just like how I don't count. I wouldn't count like if you were counting Colosseum.
You just get two starters in X-Y.
Pick your Quilava. But yeah, I'm leaning Cyndaquil then.
Cyndaquil.
Yeah.
Cyndaquil is correct.
Yeah.
With six games.
As it should be.
Gold, Silver, Crystal, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, Legends Arceus.
Yeah, because there was no gray Pokemon gray version.
Yeah, exactly.
For Oshawott to keep up.
Well, I mean, it had two.
It had two instead of black, white, one black bad. And white, too.
Like, it was close. It was
actually close. Yeah, Oshawott's actually at five, so.
So
it needed
like
the Pokemon gray.
That might change like next year. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, your next question is going to come to you from Ben, and he wants to know, who is the only Pokemon whose pre-evolution and mega evolution do not share any types?
Oh, you know what? It's Altaria, right?
Wait, no, because they share.
No, because it's a dragon. It gets Dragon Fairy versus normal flying. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought like no types along with like they both share a type with Altaria. So
No, they don't.
The Mega and the pre-evolution are completely separated.
Yep.
Yes.
Altaria is correct. That is 2 points for
you
guys.
I didn't know
there.
Which Pokemon in that group you wanted, but that's the group.
It's an ice type.
It's true.
Yeah.
Snowy bird.
All right. Well, your next question is your Pokédex entry. This one is from Sweet Citrus. Its Ultra Sun Pokedex entry reads, instead of blood, magnetism flows through its body. When it's feeling bad, try giving it a magnet. Who's that Pokemon?
I can think of two sets of Pokemon this could be.
So it's either the Probopass line or the Magnemite line, I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, the other one would be like Meldum, but yeah. Probopass or Magnum... ton, maybe. You can pick.
I want to lean Probopass.
Probopass is unfortunately incorrect.
Ugh, I hate that Probopass. How could it do
it? It's a pretty bad Pokemon. It's pretty bad.
It needs electric typing.
I'm gonna give you another entry. I didn't like the other one because I think it was too close to the first one. This one is from Pokemon Sapphire.
Oh, okay.
And it says... Beldum keeps... Oh, I just...
anyway.
This Pokemon keeps itself floating by generating a magnetic force that repels Earth's natural magnetism. When it sleeps, this Pokemon anchors itself to a cliff using the hooks on its rear.
Luckily it gave itself away as not Magnemite there. So,
Beldum, yeah. Well, the hooks on the sprayer, I hope, would tell you it's not magnemite, but yes, the answer is Beldum.
Yeah, it's like,
And
before
we did
that, it's like,
Beldum.
Oh, it floats with electromagnetism, that could still be magnemite.
Yeah. Beldum was in the mix. It was either magnemite or Beldum, and you guys would have picked it up with the claws on its rear. So
yes, we would have gotten there.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad.
It's not cheating.
It's three out of three. All right, this next question I think is very fun, and it's from a new person, Line Onion, and Line Onion wants to know.
Is not Linian?
Line Onion.
Is it his cousin?
Yeah,
is
baby.
It his like cousin with bad breath, but great food?
Yeah, Line Onion. There are four answers here. I only need three of them, or there's five answers. I only need three of them. Losing your sturdy Pokemon to Sandstorm would suck, but most sturdy Pokemon are already immune to it. Which Pokemon with the ability Sturdy are affected by Sandstorm?
Ooh.
There are five answers. I only need three of them.
Oh, no.
This is all individual Pokemon. Two of them, I think, are part of an evolution line.
Okay. I just have to think of what is Sturdy.
See, I'm thinking of things with Sturdy, and to be fair,
I'm thinking Magnemite, which is
immune. Most of them are immune to Sandstorm. You're right.
Geodude's immune. I think Roggenroll is up there and is immune. So, Cornerstone Ogerpon is immune. Good old Cornerstone Ogerpon.
Yeah.
Cornerstone Ogerpon is so cool.
Are immune to Sandstorm. Should have been Hail, and we'd have been much better off. Although, not anymore, because it's...
Aeron. Immune to Sandstorm. Does Alolan Sandshrew have Sturdy?
Well,
I don't know.
Is Alolan Sandshrew a steel type already? Or is it only when it evolves?
It might be a steel type. Never mind.
I was going to realize Fortress is on the list, but Fortress would be immune. But maybe Pineco, because it's a pre-evo.
I think that's good. Yeah, yeah. That's
Are we locking in
better
Pineco?
Than anything else.
Are you locking in Pineco? Pineco is correct. You still have all your strikes. You only need two more answers here.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, you do have the this hint, is like scraping well, the bottom of the barrel thatch.
You do have,
it
you
might
do have
be
hints.
Worth the hint.
I would take the hint, yeah.
Because I
don't know.
Thinking of
yeah,
both.
This is a hard
I'm thinking of
thing.
Rocks and steel types.
Yeah,
so.
It usually just is by default if they're sturdy.
One of these is a Gen 5 fighting type.
Oh,
it's Sock, isn't it?
Yeah. Two of them are.
I played it in Draft League as a.
Are Gen 6 ice types.
Oh,
Abelog and
yeah,
and
okay.
One of them
luckily,
is a is
Gen 6
a
only
Gen
added
7
like two ice types,
and,
so
and the other one is like Gen 7 legendary. Legendary and question mark. It's not because of the Ultra Beast conversation.
It's not an Ultra Beast. Oh, okay.
I mean, Ultra Beasts all have Beast Boosts, so
okay. So Sock.
Yeah, so
Sock is correct.
Abelog, Bergmite,
and Abelog and Bergmite are both correct. Yeah.
We'll
the
take
one
those.
That the Gen 7 legendary question mark is Cosmoem.
Oh, yeah, that has an ability, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a Pokemon in fact.
That can be sent out into battle, unlike
that
Zygarde cells. Yeah.
I don't know that it should be, but it is.
So you guys
It doesn't have any moves, but you know, yeah.
You're at 6-4. Your next
without
question.
A hint, though.
Yeah, without a hint, unfortunate. This next one is your base stat question, as always. This is going to come to us from Zay Paladin. Which Pokemon with the Iron Fist ability has the highest base attack?
Oh, wow.
There's a lot.
Are there a lot of Iron Fists?
Well, there's not a lot of Iron Fist Pokemon, but like the ones that do have it tend to have good attack.
Infernape.
That's not that high. It's like 104, right? Like, it's going to be higher
I mean,
that.
It's better than, I think, Hitmonchan.
What is Hitmonchan's attack?
I don't think it's good.
I mean, I feel like it's
that it might
be its
best stat,
but... right?
I think it
has Conkeldurr
has too?
To be up there.
Oh, Conkeldurr's, I think, 130. Is there a Mega with Iron Fist? I feel like they gave them Sharp Claws if they were getting to attack with things. Did they give any DLC Pokemon Iron Fist? Any broken DLC Pokemon in the past?
I mean, Conkeldurr is really strong.
Like I said, I think it's got 130 attack, at least. They really like giving a Pokemon in Unova like one really high stat. I think of Chandelure with this. It's got like one.
Chandelure has 140 at least.
Yeah,
is
it's
it
like
145
special attack.
Yeah,
like, that's why I'm like Conkeldurr is probably up there, probably it, possibly, because they're There aren't really that many Iron Fist Pokemon.
No. Infernape is definitely not it. Hitmonchan is definitely not it.
I feel like Infernape's higher than Hitmonchan, but I don't.
But they're both Conk like 100-something. Both of them. They're both 100-something, if yeah. like that.
Conk is above both of them.
Yeah, so. Conk is like nothing but like, ooh, meat and strength. And
it,
yeah.
it has three stats. It has
HP,
three
attack,
stats.
And defense. Yeah.
And it doesn't need that speed because it has all the priority in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, and you've got your Drain Punch, you got... Oh my god,
you got Drain Punch,
punch
for when you go
fist,
second and take
punch.
Some damage, and
nasty.
You got Mach Punch, and
yeah.
Thunder Punch for the...
I loved Cogkelder, because like, ugh, you can run either ability, and it's good either way.
Yeah.
I'm going to need an answer here, guys.
I guess... I
we'll
can't
go with
Cogkelder,
because we can't think of another
yeah.
Pokemon.
Cogkelder is unfortunately incorrect. It is second place.
Well, okay, I'll take the silver.
The highest is Melmetal. With 143.
Cogkelder, that has an ability too. Yeah.
Cogkelder has 140, followed up by Crabominable at 132.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you guys still got 6 points, which is pretty respectable.
And I was not going to think of Melmetal. Like, that's such a niche Pokemon.
It's kind of like thinking of Cosmoem. We were never going to.
Yeah.
There.
That's just such a. Yeah.
I accept that that was not going to happen. Nope.
You are almost correct there. Yes. All right. So currently in our race to 40, we've got Linian in first place with 36, followed up by Shark with 34. Seth Bylos in third with 20. Oh, and tied with Whimsicott for 20. Wait, what? Oh, it didn't do the thing. Three-way tie between Seth, Bylos, Whimsicott, and R Sigma with 28. Sublime's in sixth with 27. Shamu is in 7th with 26. Jushiro is in 8th with 23. Mark is in 9th with 20, and Claude's bringing up the rear with 12.
Ooh, so it gets to be a super hard trivia next time.
Yeah, this is actually getting... Well, I think next episode is me,
next
Shark.
Next episode is Shark, so...
Me, Shark, and... Oh, there's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
And Claude,
Shark,
yeah.
It's Shark and Claude and me.
Claude's going to go from last place to first place.
Yeah, there's I have to figure out how that show's going to work because it's next week. It's a holiday week for us. So it's the show's going to be different.
It's going really early.
The show is going to be a little different than normal, probably. So we will keep that in mind.
On a Tuesday.
Yeah. We're recording on Monday, actually.
Oh, well, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah. enjoy a news segment that doesn't exist.
Enjoy a news segment of the mailbag segment that don't exist. But yes, we are going to go ahead right now. We're going to kick it on over to the topic.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener. The first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the host and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is Scarlet and Violet 1 year later. How do we feel? It's a retrospective on just how is the gen going. It's a doctor's appointment, you know? We got to do our health check.
And considering it started pretty ill, you know, that...
Hmm.
I don't know if I agree with that statement, actually.
I get that people have a lot of issues with, like, the performance.
I didn't have issues with it, but the...
I loved it.
I saw a lot of community complaints.
I had the most fun I had in a long time with Scarlet, with Scurvy, as I like to call it. Scarlet Violet.
I think you're actually, like, I think gameplay-wise, it's great. I think...
I will say, I never experienced any of the major bugs that a lot of people did.
Same.
So... I don't want to say other people's experiences didn't happen, but my experience was great.
Mm-hmm. No, my only gripe with the game in and of itself is just the performance issues, which I can live with, right? Like, I can live with graphical and performance issues to some extent. Like, it does make it kind of difficult at times to play Scarlet and Violet. Like, the one that was really bad to me in retrospect, like, this one still sticks with me, was when you get to the lake.
Oh, yeah.
In Scarlet and Violet, like, that runs very poorly.
It's better now, but when it released, it's like, I didn't have many problems, but at that lake, ooh, I could feel it.
Yeah, that lake is the moment where I was just like, wow, this might be unplayable.
Yeah, I never had that experience, fortunately.
Yeah, it just felt, that one just drug. It was really bad. I mean, when you do, you can, like, refresh the memory of the game and make it better. Like, if you're going back to Mezagoza enough, you can, it'll refresh the cache and you'll be able to go without it dragging too badly. But yeah, the game was poorly optimized in that respect. But I mean, other than that, I think Scarlet and Violet was is still a very good game. Like, did you guys both play the DLC, I assume, so far? Or?
Yeah, like, I would say this generation has been my favorite since at least X and Y, like, favorite since 6.
Yes, I actually agree with that. I was about to say the same thing. Like, since X and Y, this is my favorite. I still think I like X and Y better.
Yeah, I mean, Megas are hard to beat, period. But
it's not even just Megas. I don't know. Like,
no, I loved X and Y. Like, X and Y is possibly my favorite generation. But this is up there.
No, I think this is it is definitely close to X and Y in terms of how I think for me what makes a good Pokemon game. And this is just my opinion, and it does not have to fall on anybody else. But what I personally really like from Pokemon games is getting that sense of adventure, right? Like, I'm on a journey.
I did love the open world. I did.
And the open world really does it very well because you can just go off and explore, and you can go on these adventures and accidentally run into things. It does it very well. I think it could be done better, but I think for what we got as, like, a first...
I mean, this was the first time they did it fully, right? Like, Sword and Shield had one area... This was the whole region.
Legends Arceus, like, this was closer to, like, Legends Arceus, but not segmented.
I still really enjoy Legends Arceus. Legends Arceus is one of the few Pokemon games that, like, I get very excited to play. Well, no, that's a lie. I go back and I play a lot anyway, so.
Yeah. It's like, I like that all of the ride Pokemon from Legends Arceus are just in one, right? Except Ursaluna, but that's fine. We don't talk about Ursaluna.
Ursaluna is very weird. It's fine.
We didn't need Item Finder. There's just glowy things on the ground. It's fine.
It's fine. I like how Scarlet and Violet implemented a lot of things. I wish we would have gotten more close to, like, the Braviary than we got in Scarlet and Violet, but...
Yeah, the glide in Scarlet and Violet is not as good as the glide from Legends Arceus, but...
They're doing it on purpose, which is fine.
Yeah, because you can't fly infinitely, which is important.
They just don't want you to fly infinitely, which is probably fair. I mean, I like the game.
It also would probably have broken the game at launch, but, you know.
I also, like, it's a small thing, but I do like that every single type has a thing attached to it in this game. It's either a gym or, like, someone from team.
Oh, yeah, because there were 18 badges. Yeah, yeah.
Or it's going to be one of the, like, the Urban Mystica quests. So, like, I really liked how every type was represented in some way.
I feel bad for rock type a little bit, but yes.
I mean, it was there, though.
That's cloth. It's fine.
It's cloth, but the issue is the rest of them also had an Elite Four member that associated with them. And Rock just had the one teacher in the school that I probably used to be a gym leader. If I ever talked to her, I'd find out. But, you know, Rhyme Sister.
Yeah, Rhyme Sister was. Yeah. The only gripe I have about this, I love that every type had a thing, which is great. It's fantastic. I just kind of wish they had, like, I miss actual badge designs. Am I the only one that misses that? Like, actual badge designs?
It's been so long since we've had good badge designs, though.
It's Gen 6. It was quite literally Gen 6.
It was Gen 6.
I was not a fan of the Gen 5 designs, so yeah.
I was not a fan of Gen 5s either, I'll be honest.
Like, it skipped a gen, but yeah.
I don't feel poorly about the Gen 5 designs. They're not my favorite.
Yeah, I like that it has an aesthetic. I like how long they are, but like...
They have a consistent aesthetic because they're just going for these narrow little things that you could have, and that's fine. Yeah, it's perfectly fine. But I do miss... Yeah, I don't know, like... I think back to just like Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3, Gen 4 badges.
I like the simplicity, yeah.
And even like the Gen 6 badges are pretty cool. Like they get a little bit more complex, but they're still cool.
Gen 8 was awful. The billet circle.
Oh, Gen 8 was just like, here, make this, yeah, this circle.
Make a medal, yeah, like, okay.
Fill your circle.
I don't know, Gen 8 was a lot of misses on a lot of things. Not a fan of Gen 8. It missed a lot of things with the exception of like Pokemon design.
Mm-hmm. Which Pokemon design has been great for years, so.
I think the starters from Gen 8 are some of the worst.
I think those are weak. In terms of starters, I think they're weak. In terms of Pokemon, I think they're above average, as most starters are. I do think that if you push the starters aside and just look at other Pokemon designs, I think Gen 8 Pokemon designs are very interesting.
I mean, I don't know. We got two dogs is our legendaries.
I mean, you got, like, Hatterene, you got Grimmsnarl, both are great.
All the regular Pokemon are cool, because Corviknight, brilliant, right?
Sinistea, Cravenite. I mean, Thievul exists. I can't get... Baltund exists, but, you know.
Thievul is fine. It's a good design. I actually really like Thievul's design. It's just a mediocre Pokemon. But every Pokemon game needs to have mediocre Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm not huge on Thievul and Baltund, but, you know.
It's Diet Zoroark. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but then like a game later, we got Quiller Zoroark. So, you know, we got Ice Zoroark that's not an ice type. So
I don't know. I really enjoy Scarlet and Violet, though. I also really. So one of the big things about Sword and Shield walked. Well, I'm not even going to say they walked. They crawled so that Scarlet and Violet could run.
Or at least walk. Yeah. Hopefully we'll run on 10 if we want to call this. Like, yeah.
I hope so.
I'd like to hope.
I hope so, but I've been thinking about it though. Like if one of the big things I had a gripe with Scarlet and Violet is that they were, or not Scarlet and Violet, Sword and Shield, was that they were very poorly implementing their raid events, where it would be like, oh, this G-Max Pokemon's available. I'm like, okay, but nobody really cares.
But that is one thing that they did excellently in this generation.
Yes, no, when they were trickling in new Pokemon. Every like couple weeks that way, I think is a fantastic use of that thing.
Yeah, like putting the starters in raids, that was great. Because not only do you get to get them, you can spread them to other people because they're breedable.
Exactly. I also am my only minor thing is I wish they would just like instead of making a big deal about all the starters returning in the the Indigo Disc DLC.
The Indigo Disc.
I keep wanting to call it Crown Tundra.
That's okay. It makes sense.
The Indigo Disc DLC. I wish they would have just done it this way instead.
Mm-hmm.
Like throughout the year, we just got all the starters and we just called it good. And it's not a big deal that they're coming back in the Indigo Disc.
It's like you can transfer them in and
like you could just transfer them in all. But that like this is the way, in my opinion, if we're gonna live in this post-exit world, that if you want to trickle in the starters and not have them all there at launch, do it this way.
Yeah. Like, as fun as the game is to play, though, I think competitive is, like, probably the least accessible it's been since Gen 5.
Oh, it absolutely is. Oh, my gosh.
Like, it's in a miserable state right now. I don't think the legends that you can't catch in game should have ever been made legal.
I don't think the Pokemon that you can't catch in game should have been made legal.
Agree.
I think anything breedable is fair game, but Ursaluna is really rough. Why is that not available in game?
Ursaluna is technically breedable in game, if it makes you feel better.
Yeah, but you have to get the item and transfer it to Legends Arceus to get it.
Dude, that item is also ridiculous. P-Block is ridiculous.
How is that not in the game? Like, I don't...
That's something that should just be added to the game. Like, it would not be difficult.
It should have been in the DLC. Like, how? How do you miss this?
Agree.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe it's something that's fixed in Indigo Disc, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Like, that's fumbling the ball. Like, Tornadus and Urshifu should not be playable. Or Landorus. Like,
I don't know. I love a Toxic Lando moment.
The ability to change Terra types is, like...
Oh, well, actually, if we're talking about a retrospective, I think it's worth saying that Terratypes was a success, I think. Brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, I think Terra is a great mechanic. I think changing the Terra type is poorly implemented.
Agree. But Terra types themselves, great idea. Great mechanic.
Like, just the grind for Terra shards. Oh, absolutely. I would be...
Terrestrialization's a great mechanic, and it's so much fun. It's on par, if not just maybe a little bit below Mega Evolution in terms of excitement.
I agree.
Agree.
Absolutely agree. Terra, it is a great battle mechanic.
It's a big step up from Gigantamaxing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
If they were to bring it back...
Yeah, I mean, I think the strategic, like, myriad, like, opportunities and possibilities with it are really fresh, yeah.
It could be an evergreen mechanic, and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Dynamax was, like, almost exciting. It was very good for... It was very obviously designed as a competitive mechanic.
I think it wasn't. I think it was designed as a look at the big thing on your screen because it's a mainline.
It wanted to be a spectacle for the first mainline.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely part of it. But from a mechanically, it was kind of exciting. I just think it was a poor implementation.
G-Max was kind of a blunder.
G-Max was terrible because G-Max designs just well. One, they came out with G-Max designs right at the same time. As they were just like, oh, Degs had happened, and we don't care about Megas anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, so, I don't know. I mean, part of it's just like, oh, why should I even care about these designs that are just going to exist for one gen and then never again?
Yeah. It's like, I think Charizard looked cool, but that's about it, right?
They look okay. Most of the G-Max designs look okay.
I thought Charizard looked cool, and a lot of them are just kind of like, eh. Like, oh, cool. Orbeetle's a UFO. I guess, sure. Oh, Kingler's really long now. Whatever. It's a spider crab.
Thought they were weird.
Let me just put it this way. Mega Beedrill did not walk so that Mega, or so Gigantamax Butterfree could flop.
I was going to say, Mega Beedrill is like the coolest Mega. Just from taking a bad Pokemon and making it good.
It is. I mean, yeah. Mawile. I mean, that's how I feel about Mega Mawile, especially. But yes. Justice for Mawile. Like, it'll never be good until we get it back.
I mean, they could give it an evolution, but...
I would like that, actually. Or a variant of it.
I don't know that that's ever going to happen. Well, so, like, none of the Pokemon that got Megas or anything have seen any kind of change like that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Pokemon does whatever the hell they want.
I mean, the closest thing is getting regional Slowbro and...
Yeah, the closest thing was regional Slowbro. That is the closest thing.
Regional Slowbro. There was no Slowking Mega. We didn't get that far. Pokemon Z never existed. Frostlass and Slowking had to suffer.
The closest thing we got was regional Slowbro, and I don't think that really matters in the grand scheme of things.
I don't think it does either.
I could see a world where they bring Megas back and they let Galarian Slowbro Mega Evolve, but it literally just turns into just regular Mega Slowbro anyway.
Honestly, that'd be fun.
Like, I could see a world where that happens, in all honesty. If we ever get Megas back. I mean, and Megas are obviously a I see a lot of people complain about it, like most notably Joe Merrick, like about how Megas like weren't that exciting of a mechanic. This is just like from my observations. One, I still really like Megas. I think they were a cool design and a really cool way to...
They had the best designs and they were a cool mechanic. Get off your like sad horse.
Yeah, design-wise, I think it's just very cool and I think it's really fun to get a Pokemon and just like power it up, right? Because it's not the same as like an evolution. It's just like, hey, we made this Pokemon even better, if temporarily. And I really, really like that concept. I mean, this is kind of like a little bit of the Digimon fan in me too, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Getting excited about that. Yeah, I don't know. I really like it. I think the mechanic is fun and interesting. It was centralizing, which is fine.
I think they pushed it a little too far, which is probably why they had to step away from it.
No, the problem is like we've had Mega Evolution in a game as recently as Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. Or not Super Mystery Dungeon, the remake that we got. Mega Evolution showed up there. Mega Evolution shows up in Pokemon Unite.
It's in every side game, pretty much.
Pokemon Go has it. Pokemon Go is still trying to release all the Megas.
Yeah, I was very recently in Japan, right? And they have these little figures, the Pokemon like monocle figures, I think they call them. The brand new packaging. You could go buy a Mega Charizard figure and a Mega Venusaur and a Mega Blastoise and a Mega Lucario figure.
Cinderace was of yesterday, but Charizards are forever. We're never seeing Cinderace again. It's fine.
It doesn't need to be, though. Charizard doesn't need to be forever. It just is.
It just is, unfortunately. I think we're just stuck with it at this point.
They literally gave the champion of Sword yet another reason. Sword and Shield was like, really? This is what we're doing now?
I mean, it makes sense if he's supposed to be cool, and the idea of cool is Charizard, so.
I've said it on the show several times, and I would be okay with it, is it, if, like, they're going to put Charizard in there, Blastoise and Venusaur were also just there. Like, that's all I need. That's all I need. But I don't want to make this a Charizard episode again, so.
I mean, it boosts the SEO, but, you know.
Yeah, that's true, but. This is about Scarlet and Violet. I don't know. Scarlet and Violet, the story, by the way, for Scarlet and Violet, let's take a moment to talk about that. Like,
10 out of 10. Actually, maybe the best story they've done. Just gonna say it.
It is very good.
Yeah. Sarien, this was really good.
The closest one would probably be Sun and Moon with Lily and...
It's up there. Top three.
Yeah, that's probably the next closest, but this is better.
Yeah, I think it's all the odd number generations, because I'd say it's 5, 7, and 9 have the best stories.
Have the good stories, yeah.
Well, it's just because of kind of how the, I think it's kind of just how the game is, what is it? How the game just is designed in terms of how Pokemon games have been releasing in terms of odd generations, right? With 5, 7, and 9. 5, 7, and 9 are all games that are the second on their console for Pokemon.
Yeah, I just noticed that thinking about it, yeah.
I mean, that's a big factor, actually.
Because they're already familiar with the hardware, so they have more time to...
They're already familiar with the hardware, so they spend more time on the story.
Granted, Scarlet and Violet, they were definitely doing a lot more new things compared
to... They definitely did, and I think they definitely... Like, Scarlet and Violet is, I think, evidence of Game Freak overstretching themselves very far.
I mean, it also had pandemic development, but yeah.
Yeah, I do hope that, I mean, we'll see in the future titles and see what happens. Like, it depends. I mean, we'll find out, I guess, in February what's going to happen, right, for the future of the franchise.
I would be shocked if a game doesn't get announced in February. But
I agree.
Oh, no, we're going to get a game announced. It's just the question of what game.
I would be okay if it was like an Ilka Heart Gold Soul Silver Black and White remakes, but, you know.
I'm ready for Legends Kyurem.
I still say this, and I'm going to sound like a broken record to the people that listen to the show all the time, but I think that if you do a Legends game, you need to pair it with, like, an Ilka game.
Just as, like, this is what it used to be, and this is what it is now. This is our new stuff. This is your Heart Gold Soul Silver Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. This is what you want from something like that.
Yes.
And this is what it used to be. And
I do really actually hope that we get a... that we get an announcement for, like, Gen 2 style stuff, because I think doing Gen 5, not that I'm a Gen 5 hater or anything, I just think it would be interesting to see something a little bit older again.
It is between, for me, it's between, whatever's next is something Gen 2 related or something Gen 5 related, and I don't know where it is.
I'm just ready for a Snivy Renaissance, so I would prefer 5, but I'll take 2.
It's one of the two.
Well, Pokemon Legends Johto can have a Snivy, it's fine.
That's true.
I was going to say, you probably want the Legends Johto game more than a remake of...
Give me my dragon, Snivy.
Gen 5, because...
I'm really okay with like an Ilka-style remake anyway. At this point, I think it needs to happen. And my only concern is, how do we incorporate Black and White 2 type content?
Oh, or you know what? I would be down for a new Pokemon Snap. I know I'm joking.
I would love any kind of...
Yeah.
Game Freak doesn't have to deal with that at all, so... That's all Bandai Namco. Who cares?
I do think Scarlet and Violet have set us up for a pretty good future. I hope that the next Pokemon games build off of it pretty well.
I kind of hope they, like, adopt a new art style, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't like how realistic this one was, right?
Like, I kind of like the anime aesthetic that we used to have, and then they just kind of took that away and replaced it with nothing this gen. Like, it's like, these assets work, so.
I think this game... The assets would be fine if the world were a little bit cleaner, if that makes sense.
I would like more cell shading in the world, if I'm going to be honest. Just because that lasts longer, right?
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, good art direction will always live well. Like, yeah.
Like, something closer to, like, a Xenoblade.
Like, I'm going to criticize Game Freak a lot. in this game, just from the visuals and everything. Because one, they're, you know, part of the world's largest multimedia franchise, but I do think that they were doing a lot of other things. I don't blame the developers or anything. I do think there might be some poor management behind the scenes at Game Freak in terms of game development.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's their fault per se, if that makes sense.
Well, that's also my understanding is that's a lot of Japanese culture too, right?
Yeah.
Like this past week, like we watched an anime studio just kind of fall apart at the seams, kind of. MAPPA, if you heard about that at all.
I haven't heard about it. Tell me about it.
So they're the ones who are behind like Jujutsu Kaisen, which is the big one right now. And apparently they're working up to like hours before release to get the episodes done. So a lot of people, they're supposed to be under NDA, but like last week, a bunch of people came out and was like, how awful it is there. So
I wouldn't be surprised if the management's just, I mean, these are guys that are just in there because they've been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There is some level of respect there, right? They came up with the original idea. They probably have some feeling for what's going on, but I do think that they don't have the skills.
You want fresh blood.
I don't even know if fresh blood's the right word, but
they might have too much fresh blood on the ground, though.
I think it might be that the management, they made a really great Game Boy game in the 1990s. And they made pretty decent DS and 3DS games. But I think when you make that jump, and Nintendo even admitted this, when they jumped to HD, it was just a huge,
like that. The Wii U was a mess, right?
Yeah. The Wii U was a mess more than just like the name. It was that they did not understand how to code for HD.
Their schedule was messed up. So many delays. The software just was never there, which is why it just never picked up. It's like, oh, we can quickly get out these, like the Wind Waker remake, which they just made a software that upscaled it for them or something, and they made it super quick because they just needed a game, which kind of happened with 3DS too, with Ocarina of Time 3D, I feel like. But
yeah, I just think it's partially management, but we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll improve over the time. They seem to be aware of it, so hopefully this fixes the issue.
Part of it might have been that they pushed more effort towards getting Legends Arceus out the door, because that one felt polished, right?
Yes, I think so.
It felt more polished.
It felt more polished than this one. I mean, there are instances. So one, we don't have the whole world like you do in Scarlet and Violet.
That's fair. They were working with just like five zones, right?
Then there are definitely moments when you play Legends Arceus and the frame rates are really bad. Now, it's not typically when it's right.
I've had more issues with Arceus frame rates than Sword Moon, Scarlet Violet.
Yeah, you get a lot of frame rate issues with distance, which is what you do see in Scarlet. Like I think I said this at the release episode of Scarlet and Violet. One of the things that really took me out of the game, man, I feel like we're trashing on it, but I love this game so much.
No, it's a great game. I am very happy with the game.
I haven't played through Violet yet. I should sit down. I only played Scarlet. I should sit down and play through Violet with on stream or something. I feel like people would enjoy that.
I could see it. Yeah.
Especially with the DLC, like integrating the DLC content into it at the same time would be a lot of fun.
Like going to Kitakami early and doing the level 30 stuff.
Yeah, going to Kitakami early and getting my core fish. Core fish is one of my favorite Pokemon, and I don't know why. There's a lot of Pokemon.
Core fish is cool.
There's a lot of Pokemon I really like, and I don't know why I like them.
Gen 3 has a lot of those designs where it's like, I don't know why I like you, but you're kind
of
cool.
Gen 3 has just a lot of good, like, at this point, classic designs. It was before everything had, like, you know.
I really like these games, and I think they are fantastic. They definitely have flaws. But one of the things that took me out of Scarlet and Violet the most was when I was heading towards, oh my gosh, what's the name of the town with the windmill?
Oh, Artisan?
Artisan, that's it. I play the card all the time.
I only know that because of the TCG.
Yeah, I know. I play the card all the time. Artisan. I was headed over to Artisan, and like out in the, like, they want you to be able to see the windmill off in the distance.
Oh no, not that windmill.
The problem is the draw distance.
The 2 frames a second.
Yeah, the windmill's turning at like 2 frames a second.
Yeah, that is a problem.
And it was like, oh, it I was so immersed with like catching Pokemon and everything that I saw that and I was like, oh, it's a video game.
And then you just watch the jitter of the windmill and it's like, oh no.
I'm like, oh, guys.
Oh, this is worse than Ocarina of Time. Oh no. What happened?
Tell me about it.
Or collect. Oh, Artisan in general was just kind of bad for showing off the game because of that stupid Sunflora quest.
The Sunflora quest was also frame rate.
That killed the frame rate so bad.
And that's what they showcased, if I'm remembering right. Yeah.
That was their demo.
So in the demo, like, they actually made it better, though, which is weird. Like, it performs better in the demo than it does on the Switch. So they did something.
Oh, that was probably one of the roughest challenges in, oh.
Yeah, I think Scarlet and Violet would have been able to go up for, like, Game of the Year if they didn't have any of these technical issues.
I don't know. I just don't think Pokemon is that kind of game.
That's fair. I don't know. I really like Pokemon, and it obviously has mass appeal, and I feel really bad saying this because it makes me feel like I'm not progressive and I don't like change, but I feel like Pokemon figured it out in the 90s, where it's just like, here's the perfect, like, monster catching game scenario. And honestly,
here's the system. Let's just try to perfect the stuff around it. Right. Like,
and I feel like I can literally just, like, I can catch a Pikachu for the next 50 years of my life without an issue. Okay, guys.
Except the Black and White remake, but, you know.
Well, hey, it was in two.
I assume they will fix it in the Black and White remake. Like, Black and White remake is going to do something like they did in BDSP, where you can catch all the Pokemon in the National Dex up until...
I imagine they'll do it, like, at the Entry Forest and make that a dungeon or something, but yeah.
Well, Black and White City, even. Like, those are kind of poopy areas anyway.
I mean, what if you redid them and included both in each game? I'd be cool. I think that'd be cool. I think they have potential to do something with those areas.
I wouldn't be shocked if, like, story-wise, it would be cool to go there after... I mean, you could relate them to the Paradox Pokemon. That would be kind of cool, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Actually, that's a great idea.
Oh, that would be...
Like, Black City, where they manufacture the Iron Pokemon, that would be fun.
And the White Forest, where you can find all of the ancient, yeah.
Interesting. White Forest, where all the... Where Screamtail shows up. Yeah, interesting. Good idea.
You know, honestly, like, I like the Paradox designs. It's unfortunate that they pushed a couple of them a little too far, but...
I am bitter because purple, my favorite color, I was like, Team Violet, and then I got nothing but Iron Blank, Iron Blank, Iron this, Iron that.
I think Iron Bundle and Iron Valiant are really cool designs, though.
Like, it's not that the designs are bad, I just hate the naming scheme so much.
The names are bad. I hate that they came up with such a creative naming scheme for the ancient Pokemon, for the ancient Paradox.
That, I resent it a lot, because the ancient Pokemon have better names, period. Period.
They do.
I hard agree.
Well, you don't like Iron Jugulus at all.
Iron Jugulus looks cool. I love how it, like, has, like, the...
See, he's my least favorite design of them all.
Oh, really? I like the pink. I like how it's, like, you can see, like, the wiring.
The pink is cool.
I like Paradox Pokemon grew on me, because at first I was just like, why do these exist? And then when somebody brought up, like, the imagination theory to me, I was like, okay, this makes sense to me now. Like, this has to be what happens.
I think they're fun designs to make strong Pokemon out of.
Iron Bundle is an icon, right? Like, Iron Bundle is an icon. Delibird killing you?
Iron Bundle is not the one that I think they pushed too far.
No, but I love Iron Bundle, because it's like, we made a Delibird, like, dangerous. I'm obsessed with that.
I think Fluttermane was pushed too far, but Iron Bundle is great.
So, I have a question for you guys. In the DLC, do you think they'll actually explain Paradox Pokemon at all?
I feel like they will, because we're going back to Area Zero.
I feel like Pokemon is going to pull a Pokemon thing, and it's going to be very vague and up to us to determine.
I think they're going to propose a theory and not confirm it.
I think they're going to give us more information at the very least, even if they don't go all the way.
Like, I don't trust Briar at all, right? Like,
put it this way. I think we'll get more information about this than we ever did about that so-called war.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
There's also, like, the mysteriousness of Kojita that they added in Legends Arceus, and who knows when we'll get more information on...
Kojita? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's the ancestor of Cynthia.
I think that's her name, right? The Cynthia one, the immortal Cynthia.
Oh, yeah. The immortal Cynthia, yeah.
We're going to get more information on her at some point, right? But who knows when? She's immortal. Like, she's going to show up in more storylines, I assume.
I'd love her in the next Legends game. Let me just put it that way.
That's where I'd expect her to stay, like, in Legends.
If it is Johto, that would make a lot of sense.
Or Unova, I mean... You could make the story that she's the one who took the Landorus and the Tornadus and Thunderous over there.
That's true. I would hate it. You know what? I don't think we're going to get a Legends Unova because of the genies. No, that I think about it.
Maybe the genies are why we're going to get it.
If you go into the tents at either the Diamond Clan or the Pearl Clan tents, mm-hmm. you find out that what's his name? The champion of Unova was the progenitor of both clans. Yeah. Alder's great great grandfather was the one who created both the Diamond Clan and the Pearl Clan.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Like you go in and you see the photos of the most important people, which is an Alder lookalike and then either a Maxi lookalike or an Archie lookalike.
I love those games and how much they just like leaned on lore.
Yeah.
I love Ninja Wally too.
Ninja Wally, yeah.
That was so cool. It's like, oh, that I never expected you to be Wally. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're right. But all right, I don't want us to go off on too many tangents, but Scarlet and Violet's been a good time. I've really enjoyed it.
Was there room for improvement? Yes. Was it a excellent, fun time? Yes.
Yes. Scarlet and Violet made me feel positive about Pokemon again.
I still don't understand.
Same. Because you know what? Like, for me, I want to say for everyone else, for me, Sword and Shield really was a rough spot. Also, I hated a lot of the music in Sword and Shield in the open world. I don't need bagpipes. I don't need bagpipes playing in my living room ever. No bagpipes.
That's just kind of a gripe I've had with Pokemon in general lately, where they try to lean very heavily on inspiration of like a real life place.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm okay with it this time. I just did not like the bagpipes.
I think they were actually pretty good about it this time. It still felt like just like a generic Pokemon world, but that was inspired by Spain and Portugal.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the open areas are more neutral. It's always the towns and cities that are like very inspired and very fun to enjoy for that reason.
And partnering more with Toby Fox is not a bad thing. like, his music is really good. And it fits the series well enough. It's sad that Sword and Shield, they only put him as like, hey, you're battling Leon in the tower. Cool. Here's the Toby Fox song. And now he did like the raid music, which is really good.
All right. Well, I think this is a good place to stop. I think we're all very happy with the game, and I'm very excited to see how this game develops in the next couple of years. I would love another set of DLC. I really wish Game Freak would just give us like another year of DLC for this game.
Give us all the Pokemon in one game? That'd be wild.
No, that's Gen 10. Don't worry about it. It's the anniversary game.
Gen 10. Everybody is here.
Gen 10 anniversary game. Everyone's here.
Pokemon Ultimate. That's just the name.
Yeah, Pokemon Ultimate. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to end it here, guys. We are going to go ahead and kick it on over then to our Pokemon of the episode. We are going to catch you all on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 1017, Ogerpon, the mask Pokemon, specifically Cornerstone this week.
This form has excellent defenses, absorbing impacts solidly, like the cornerstone stones that support houses. I guess. I don't know that cornerstones for houses absorb impacts like that, but yeah.
I like that they chose to... I'm unsurprised by grass-type Ogerpon, water-type Ogerpon, and fire-type Ogerpon, but I was pleasantly surprised to find out that they were just like, here's a grass-rock Ogerpon.
Yeah, because it would have been so easy to do electric.
Yeah, they realized electric was a step too far. That's what I would have expected if I were told there was.
I don't know, like, things. Rock is the one that pleasantly surprises me. The other three, I don't care about.
I mean, having a 100% accurate rock move?
I do like good. A fire grass type that isn't just, like, a pepper.
Skullvillain?
Skullvillain's, like, almost there. Like, it's almost it. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost
They could
there.
Give it an evolution, and everyone would be fine.
Yeah. It's, like, almost there, but, it's fine.
I'm a little sad they gave it Moody, because that's what it gets to be defined as now.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
But Ogerpon does the cornerstone? No, it keeps the same base stats, right?
Yeah.
But it does get, like, a boost to its defense, if I'm correct.
I believe that's what its boost is.
Gets its boost to defense. And so its base stats, I mean, are bad. It's Ogre Pawn. It's base 120 attack, 110 speed, 96 special defense, 60 special attack. Who cares? 84 defense and 80 HP. So it's a decent Pokemon. Grass Rock is actually like a fantastic typing, by the way.
As a fan of Cradily, yes.
Yes.
Well, Cradily has Water Absorb, which I really love.
It's like, it resists, or it does, it like just takes normal damage.
It has four weaknesses,
everything.
Right?
Yeah.
They cover each other well.
Yeah.
They take two Pokemon, or two types with like five or six weaknesses, and condense it down to four.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's actually like not bad.
Wait, five. No, wait.
No, four. Yeah. Four. It's fighting bug, steel, and ice.
Yeah.
And like a weakness to steel and bug is not the end of the world.
Because yeah.
And it's especially because you have rock. So like you're hitting the bug and ice back.
Yep.
Yeah.
If it's a type.
And you're reasonably fast. So you can do
yeah.
it. and you have sturdy. You're not dying in one hit.
And Ivy Cudgel turns into a rock type then too, right? So
yeah, which is really good because rock types don't get accurate attacks.
And
yeah.
rock is a really good
offensive
type.
Typing.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's true.
Like it's a good Pokemon.
Yeah. It's interesting. I also like the way it terrestrializes. I feel like the terrestrialization of Ogre Pawn is the way that terrestrialization should have probably worked for everything else.
I like it just for this.
I'm a fan of like other Pokemon. I don't know. Like the way I think terrestrialization should work is like that Pokemon can turn into one of its types naturally. But if you wanted to turn into a different type, it should hold an item or something. Like there should be a small drawback.
Maybe
turning into a different type, I think.
I look at it as kind of like a mega too. Like that's kind of what it is here.
Yeah, it's essentially a mega. I mean, to be fair, it does get a boost to one of its stats when it does this. So
it gets a big stat boost. It gets a new type. It's practically a mega.
You're not entirely wrong.
It's probably closer to like the forms of Dialga, Palkia, but you know.
Oh, I was thinking of like Zacian with its broken sword. Like we give it the item and then
I am waiting for the cards for this.
That'll be interesting. That'll be a good set. Because you know it's gonna be the star of the set.
Oh, it's gonna be the star for the set.
Yeah.
It's gotta be the set.
It's gonna be the star of like two sets, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yes.
It's like here's two Ogre Pawn in this set, here's two Ogre Pawn in that set.
Yep.
Or at least in Japan. Here it will
be. Let's call it Masked Madness for the expansion.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. But yeah, if you want to play with Ogre Pawn in the game, we do have a team for you for Battle Stadium Singles. Is it still called Battle Stadium Singles? Is that what we call it?
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
BSS. Yeah.
Battle Stadium Online.
It used to be Battle Stadium. It's Battle Stadium now, but it used to be like Battle something else Singles.
Battle Spot Singles.
Battle Spot, that was it.
Battle Spot was a cool name, and I don't know why we changed it, but whatever.
So we do have a Battle Stadium Singles team with Ogre Pawn Cornerstone on it. It's got the ability
Here's
Sturdy.
A question for you guys. Yeah. I'll ask.
Oh, okay. It's got the ability Sturdy. It's got the Rock Terra type because it can't have a different one. 252 attack, 252 speed, Jolly Nature, so we're going fast. Ivy Cudgel, so you have the only 100% accurate Rock type move in the game. Well,
physical
with the exception of
that's
Power
a
Gem.
Strong, certainly, right?
Power Gem and Ancient Power.
Both the special attacks.
Yeah.
And then you've got Horn Leech. For some health recovery and also stab Swords Dance because then he could just hit hard and substitute. This is definitely
you don't die in one hit. So if you Horn Leech back all your HP, you can keep going.
And then of course, because we have to make the team good, we put a Fluttermane on it.
Icon. We love a Fluttermane.
Holding Focus Sash. Protosynthesis is the ability because it can't get a different one. It's got Terra type Ground. That's an interesting Terra type actually for it. And it's got 252 special attack, 252 speed, Timid Nature, Moon Blast for stab, Hex, because not only do we have Terra Blast so that we can hit other Pokemon, but we can also Thunder Wave and we can get double power off that Hex. Somebody take two more of these bad boys. This is, I look at the other ones and like there's only one of these I think is like semi interesting.
I want to talk about the Ogre Pawn of Gen 8, which is Urshifu.
It is, though. You're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
What I was going to ask you guys is, would you consider Urshifu and Ogre Pawn legendaries?
I guess
they are considered.
Yes. No, I think I think this is like kind of what they're doing to... like. I don't think we're going to get mythicals anymore. Like mythical Pokemon are probably just gone.
What I love about them, or what I find very interesting about them, is that their stats are not typically as high as we expect of legendary Pokemon. but they're still good.
But usually they're pushed to be strong enough.
They're pretty optimized.
They're optimized. If you look at, like, Urshifu is crafted to be a competitive Pokemon.
It really is. Like mid 500s instead of hitting like 600, whatever, right?
Yeah, but I think that's necessary. And its speed stat is specifically like 97, which is so that it just outspeeds 95s, but it's not outspeeding things like
the hundreds
Xerneas,
or anything faster.
Xerneas,
right?
All
right, so Urshifu Rapid Strike we're going with has Terra type Electric, and it's holding a Punching Glove. Adamant Nature with 252 attack, 252 speed, and then 400 defense, and we're running Aqua Jet for priority, because this is the water type. Ice Punch, Thunder Punch, Surging Strike. Yeah.
A mostly standard one.
That's mostly standard.
And speaking of, pretty much.
Usually you'd have close combat, but you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of priority, we have a Scizor with a Citrus Berry and, of course, Technician. Terra type Dark. This team has a lot of fun Terra types.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so this has got Adamant 252 HP. Ooh, it's a thick boy. 52 attack and 204 defense. I'm curious if that is for a specific reason.
I imagine so.
Well, it has Swords Dance, so that's probably the reason it's not in attack. So it runs Swords Dance, Knock Off, U-Turn, and Bullet Punch. Interesting. U-Turn and Swords Dance.
Knock Off is fun.
I mean, it's Terra type, or it's a... Terra type.
Yeah, get stab knockoff.
Stab knockoff. That's not bad.
All right, closing out the team, we have a Choice Band Dragonite with the multi-scale ability, as your Dragonites do when you're not in doubles. We're Terra Flying, Max Attack, Max Speed, Adamant Nature, Outrage, Terra Blast for that flying stab, Earthquake, Extreme Speed. Relatively standard Dragonite in the, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your Dragonite's either a Terra Flying or Terra Normal. We're Terra Flying. It's fine. And last up, we have the Choice Specs Toxtricity with the Punk Rock ability. This is not low key, whatever the other one is, but it doesn't really matter.
No, it's not that, but you know.
It's because you're bluffing. It's fine.
Yeah.
You're not using the exclusive attack to it, but you want your opponent to think you could. Modest Nature and Max Special Attack and a bunch of weird stuff. Water Terra. We have Overdrive, which is our stab electric sound based attack that gets boosted by Punk Rock that's exclusive to Toxtricity. Sludge Bomb, Boom Burst, and a Volt Switch.
This looks like fun. I've been trying to find a way to get back into competitive Pokemon because I can't understand OU anymore, which is saying something, I think.
To be fair, OU changes like every couple weeks. I forgot to put that in the news segment. They banned Gliscor.
To be fair, part of it is the way like Scarlet and Violet is set up that like new Pokemon show up, so it changes a lot. It's very volatile. But also like new Pokemon, the way they play, I just don't understand. I think BSS might be my entry back into it. I can kind of understand VGC, but I think BSS is going to be where I get a feel for Pokemon again.
I mean, that's why I grabbed this team. It's like, this is a generally offensive team.
I actually might. You know what? If people want it enough, I might try to stream with this team or something similar to it. And we can see how high we can climb. There's so much Pokemon I want to stream. And I just feel like I have to sit down and actually decide. Like, I feel like this bundle of possibilities. But I need to
iron bundle of possibilities.
Yeah, this iron bundle of possibilities. And
tis the season.
Tis the season, indeed. indeed. So I need to figure it out. So, all right, we are going to go ahead then, guys, and we are going to kick it on over to our mailbag. So let's kick it on over to that.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we will hopefully read it on the show. We got a few today. Last week, we asked you guys what you thought about Pokemon Colosseum, and boy, do you all agree with me. And we're going to go ahead and read a couple of those emails here for you guys. But of course, if any of these emails spark great discussion, we are going to go ahead and give that person the green Tauros badge over on the Discord server, where you get a cool role and technically access to a little channel.
For a whole month.
For a whole month, because it's going to reset on January 1st. All right. So our first email this week is going to be from Sweet Citrus, a new person today. Hello, Puckle Peoples. I've been a longtime listener, new Discord member, Sweet Citrus, and now emailer. I do not believe we will see a re-release of Pokemon Colosseum again or any game in that format style. Back then, I think there was more of a niche for the 3D models than that we saw on the console spinoffs, such as Colosseum, Darkness, and Revolution. Oh, it's not Darkness. Well, I guess it's Gale of Darkness. Okay, yeah, never mind.
Yeah. I understand. I call it XD, but yes, sure. You can call it Darkness.
You can call it Darkness, yeah. Now there's just the Switch, and as opposed to the DS and Wii or GBC / GameCube combo a lot of us grew up with, I think the route to the company has gone with is PLA is the route that we will, is the route we will see in the near future. I absolutely agree with you. I just think we should have more. Going back and adding Pokemon lore and plots from the past, I personally love the style of these games had, with a more of an emphasis on battling in my opinion. I would think a spinoff of something similar to an intro to VGC style battling, like was mentioned in last week's episode, is more likely, seeing as there is a lack of double battles in these most recent editions of the franchise. I do agree with that, actually.
That is very weird. Very weird.
On that train of thought, I would rather see something like this added to the future mainline games with a small plot detour in the future, only if the AI scales as you get further with unique battling strategies, instead of random Pokemon mixed into a team as we saw with some filler battles in past versions. That may be a wish only Jirachi could fulfill, though. I would be interested in seeing, like, a Mount Battle come back. You know what I mean? Like, we do Mount Battle, but it's all double battles.
Where there's actually a goal and you can be done.
Yeah. I think that would be a cool way to do double battles. I think that, yeah. I know Revolution Tech...
I mean, we don't even have a battle facility this time.
I'm hoping we get it in Indigo Disc.
Oh, that would make sense.
I have to hope.
I mean, they have a whole other Elite Four. Why not a battle thing?
Yeah.
Not very original Elite Four, but they do have
an Elite Four. It's fine. I know Revolution isn't technically part of the question, but for the thoughts of the game portion of the question, I couldn't help but reminisce about battling my brother and our friends from our DSs on the TV with the anticipation of what I could compare to as watching a sporting event play out. Actually, I hard agree with this. It was awesome to view the center screen like a giant stadium monitor while everyone's guessing what move or Pokemon is coming next. So the Switch technically has this. There's technically a spectator view for Pokemon battles. It's just you have to be like on... It has to be like a physical connection.
And also, like, TOs are the only ones who have, like, pure access to it. You have to, like, hack in your access, and it's dumb.
Yeah, it's really weird, and I wish they would just release it to the rest of us.
I want VS Seeker back.
I love VS Seeker.
Yeah.
Splatoon has replays. Why can't we?
Why can't we have replays, right? Yeah.
Like, I wish we could do viewer, like, battle commentary. That would be so cool again.
Sorry for going off topic at the end. I really appreciate and enjoy the content you put out, Sweet Citrus. Well, we appreciate that email, Sweet Citrus. All right, this next one is going to be from Backsteen.
Yeah. Hi, Thatch and Co. Unfortunately, I've never played Colosseum. However, following this, I might give it a go.
I'm so sorry.
XD is so much better.
XD fixes a lot of the problems, but Colosseum is really bad, I think, in terms of its gameplay.
Incredibly slow to get anywhere in that game, and it's not even a big game. It's a very short game, but getting places takes forever. Animations take forever. It has problems. It has lots of problems. But anyways, this is more of a random update. When I first started listening to the podcast, I didn't play the TCG and didn't have much interest. Over time, though, listening to Thatch talk so passionately about it, I thought I'd give it a go. The first thing I attended was a pre-release for Scarlet and Violet, and I loved it. Following from this, I thought and I'd build a deck, and have now made a great group of friends that I play with every Monday evening. Four of us from the group are even going to Poland to compete in the regionals next weekend, and we've got team hoodies on order. I'll be playing Chen Pao Back's Caliber Iron Hands, and hopefully I can win a game. The goal is just to get one win, as it's my first actual tournament. Anyways, thanks for getting me into the TCG. It's great fun, even if it hurts the wallet. Kind regards, Backsteen.
Woo. Yeah, TCG does hurt the wallet.
I mean, it could be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an adult's game.
Chen Pao's a good deck, though, so yeah, good luck.
Yeah, best of luck to your team.
Good luck in Poland, though, for the regional. All right, this last email is going to be from Dunsparce.
Yeah. Oh, they rhymed. I like that. Fasten that buckle, hosts of Puckle, and keep your hands inside the switch part for the duration of this ride. Coliseum holds a special place in my heart.
That's yeah. A good pun. That's a good pun, actually.
I liked the rhyme more than the pun, but I like them both. Yeah.
I like the switch cart reference.
Coliseum holds a special place in my heart due to it being the required rite of passage for anyone wanting to have a ribbon master. I am firmly of the opinion that the definition must be has all ribbons available to the species. Otherwise, what happens when Legends Unova gives a ribbon? Some Pokemon will be easier to complete, but that simply gives an easier path for a quest I highly recommend everyone try. I'm not going to, but if you want to, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
There's just one pitfall I should mention. Coliseum. My magnum opus ribbon master is a square, shiny Dunsparce that has right hidden values to eventually become a Dunsparce while manipulating the RNG. To get that shiny took literal weeks. It was far from the most difficult activity. That honor goes to waiting for Coliseum battle animations. Even playing at 4x speed, every battle is extremely slow.
That is so true, though.
Not wrong. The game takes forever. Actual forever.
You clearly see the desire to drag the game out past Blockbuster's rental period. I may not have noticed as a kid.
Yep.
But having to work to eat makes me realize my day job is far easier than waiting, suffering through map battle.
And then realizing you went through it on the wrong mode to get the Ho-Oh, and then you had to go through the other map.
Ugh, that's rotted.
It was one of those things that, like, when I was a kid during my summers, you know?
It was fine. And now it's like, I don't have the patience for it.
You know what? I'm just going to say, I'm glad I didn't have a GameCube.
I don't have the patience for it anymore.
Yeah, like as a kid, like during the summers, it was great because like you, if it was raining, like this is my Pokemon Coliseum day. I'm going to get that Ho-Oh today, you know?
I may never fully recover to a point where I can enjoy Coliseum again. This is no problem since there is no way it gets remade out of a virtual console title. But hey, if Dunsparce could be given an evolution, then clearly anything is possible. It's not happening. May your days be filled with ribbons, Dunsparce. No. I'll do ribbons in a game.
Oh, I'm never doing the ribbons. It's fine. I don't need ribbons. I don't need ribbons.
We're not doing all the ribbons.
I'll do ribbons for games on the Switch.
We ain't doing all that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to the old contests. Keep those away.
I don't know. I like some older content, but like Coliseum is just not one of them that I care about.
I mean, the thing is, you need a fresh save file for your Heart Gold, Soul Silver, or you can't have beaten Red yet to get that ribbon, and it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
I don't know. Heart Gold, Soul Silver are, like, enjoyable games to play, though, I feel like.
They're really good Pokemon games, and you cannot say that about Coliseum in the same way.
Now, Coliseum's a unique Pokemon game.
It is very unique.
Unique does not mean good.
But what's unique got to do with it? Yeah, that's right. Lots of things are unique.
I don't need to revisit it, yeah.
Yeah.
Unique does not mean good. I think everybody just really likes Coliseum because of the concept of Coliseum.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
Well, the nostalgia and the concept, like the concept of being like an edgy. I mean, Pokemon Coliseum's main theme is very, very early 2000s, where it's just like, hey, I'm this edgy guy with these Pokemon.
It's gritty and yeah.
Yeah, it's gritty, which I think everybody's just like, man, there's not another Pokemon game that's like this. It's like, yeah, but doesn't there need to be, right? Like,
there's not another Pokemon game like, what's that tactics one we always love to talk about? There's no Conquest either, but...
Conquest.
It's unique.
I don't know how recently you've played Pokemon Conquest, but I've played it somewhat recently. I think Pokemon Conquest and Pokemon Coliseum have similar-ish issues.
That's my point. Like, listen, unique is just, that's all it is. Unique is unique.
It is unique.
Like, Conquest is a very cute game. I just don't think that I will ever be like, I really want to play Conquest.
I find Conquest really grindy.
Because the gameplay kind of drags. It's really grindy. Yeah, it's very grindy.
I remember going for, like, most of, like, the perfect sync pairs on all the characters, and that was a very unfortunate decision and not fun. And each time you start up the story, they're even weakened again, and it's annoying, and I mean, you at least have them, but it's annoying. It is not a perfect game. It is a flawed game. A flawed game.
That's what, yeah, like, you know what? It's unique, but, like, what's unique got to do?
Exactly. But, yes, thank you for these emails. Do you guys want to give it to anybody? Anybody in particular? I like Sweet Citrus the most, honestly, but...
Sweet Citrus is fine, yeah.
That was their first email, and they got into the TCG, so I love that for them.
So there you go, Sweet Citrus. You pick it up. Just ask us for the badge, and it's all yours. But yeah, next week, or not even next week, there won't be a mailbag in this upcoming episode because of the holiday. But we will have it again in 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, we want to know what you think about Scarlet and Violet. Have you enjoyed it this past year? Do you think it's done anything great? Have you think it's done anything poorly? Send us your emails at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. But of course, if you want to hang out with us throughout the week and over the Thanksgiving holiday, you can do so by coming to PuckleDiscord.com, where you can join and hang out with all of us. Of course, you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Additionally, you can follow us over at YouTube and twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And finally, if you want to help support the show, you can do so by going over to trollandtoad.com and buying some cardboard like me and get a 5% discount with code PucklePod5 at checkout. It'd be a great time to get that Paul Dayan Fates set that's coming out. So
that pre-order,
you can get that pre-order in over there. Additionally, you can also go ahead and go to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. I think based on the poll I put into the chat, we're gonna have a tier where we're either doing a t-shirt or a playmat. I have to decide which one I want to source first. I'm leaning towards t-shirt just because it has more mass appeal. So we're gonna get a sweet Puckle t-shirt that's gonna come out to you that will be Patreon exclusive in some way, and if depending on how that works out, it might hit the general public, but I will make no guarantees for that. So yeah, with that note, guys, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I continue to be Sublime.
And I'm R Sigma.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.